Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have another great show planned for all of you today. My guest will be Dr. Maria Michaels. She is a world-renowned and respected medical intuitive, channel, healer, psychic, and teacher for over 40 years. And she's going to come on and talk to us about the work she's doing. And I'm really excited to have her on, so stay tuned for that. But first, I would like to share with you some things going on in and around the news, some things that you can participate in to get involved, and of course, I want to share my weekly recipe with you. So first off, for many people, today or this week was the first day back to school, and I can't believe summer is over, but it really is, and school is upon us. And unfortunately, there's many youngsters here in the New York area, and I'm sure across the country, that don't have all of their school supplies accounted for, and that's because they can't afford it. And so there are many organizations out there that are collecting money to help purchase school supplies for those that are in need. Local organization here is called Community Solidarity. They have a huge backpack fundraising event that's already been in the works for many weeks, but you still can donate to it. You can go to communitysolidarity.org and donate right there. The River Fund New York, which is also an organization that I work with for Christmas and Thanksgiving when I feed the homeless, they do a huge school backpack drive. You can go to the riverfundny.org for their website. But just Google, you know, where you can donate money, because there's so many kids that are going to school and just don't have all their supplies together and they need a little helping hand. So that's one thing you can do. Other ways that I would like to ask you to take action this week, our farm workers need our protection. The Trump administration has just submitted a new proposal through the Department of Labor that would remove some of the safeguards that we have in place to make sure that the living conditions that the farm workers are being offered are safe. It also would reduce their wages and limit some of their job opportunities. So I have link on my website for you to comment on that. And there is also a place where you can comment to the Environmental Protection Agency, because Trump, of course, is at it again. He's trying to roll back some of the regulations that the Obama administration has put in place. I swear, I think he just lies there at night thinking, what can I do to, you know, undo anything good Trump did? I mean, anything good that Obama did. And I swear, I think he just, you know, gets pleasure out of rolling back regulations that are good for the environment. Anyway, this time he's rolling back regulations that require gas and oil companies to regulate and detect if they are leaking methane gas. And for those that don't know, methane gas is 84 times more toxic to the environment. It traps the heat 84 times more than carbon dioxide, and it's responsible for a quarter of the planet's warming. So it's really a bad thing, and it is something that, you know, these oil and gas companies were all set to, you know, monitor and to do the regulation according to the law, and now it's being rolled back. So there is a open comment period for this as well. And I talk about this all the time. It's gotten to the point where we all have to become active citizens. We can't just think about it and say how bad this is without actually taking our voice to paper, to the phone, and making our voices heard, because this stuff is really, really serious, and we need to all get involved. So lots of things are going on in the New York area that you may want to know about, and I'm sure there are things going on all around the area as we enter our harvest season. But right here on Long Island is the 13th Annual North Fork Foodie Tour, which is a really great event. They have over 20 locations that are represented during this food tour, and it's a self-guided tour. So you sign up, you get a map of all the different food farms and small producers that are on the North Fork, and you can go at your leisure, and you'll run into lots of other people who are also doing this self-guided tour. The farms and producers will all have samples and be ready to welcome you in. So that's a fun thing to do. It's only $25. Really a great thing. So check that out. Also coming up September 13th and 14th is the 5th Annual Food Lab. I missed it last year, and I was so disappointed. I heard how great it was, and I will be there this year. The guest speaker this year is Lydia Bastinich, and she is a famous Italian chef. She will be speaking, and it is going to be a great event. It is at the Stony Brook University Southampton campus. It starts Friday evening at 6:30 and runs all day Saturday. So go onto the website, Google the 5th Annual Food Lab, or if you go to my website, IE Green, I have all of these events listed, and you can check them out. September 14th is one of my favorite evenings. It's the Harvest Moon Celebration. It's an evening of expressive agriculture at Orkestai Farm. And Orkestai Farm is a farm that is working with youngsters on the autistic spectrum. And this is actually not really an evening. It's more 4:30 to 7:30. They're making use of the natural light. Tickets are $100 and up if you would like to give more. But it's a really wonderful evening, beautiful food, and you'll get to do some expressive agriculture while you're there. So check that out. If you're interested in learning about electrical vehicles, there's two different opportunities on Long Island. One is on September 16th at the Sustainability Institute, and then there's one out in Copaig on September 17th, so you can check those out. September 22nd, Slow Food East End is having their annual meeting and potluck. Out at Quinnipet Camp and Retreat Center on Shelter Island. September 26th is one of my favorite events. It's the Coalition for Healthy School Foods Annual Gala, and this is a all plant-based event. They are an organization that has really been instrumental in raising awareness about plant-based eating is being healthier and pushing to get more plant-based food in the school lunches and breakfast. And so there's actually, thanks to the Coalition for Healthy School Food, three vegetarian, completely vegetarian schools in Queens. And we are looking to get more. And they've been also instrumental in the push for the campaign of Meatless Mondays, which all of New York City is now participating in. And Glen Cove School, where I am working, has just committed to signing on as well. So we will be meatless on Mondays here in Glen Cove on Long Island. But anyway, the Coalition for Healthy Schools Food Annual Gala is at the Academy of Medicine on September 26th from 6:30 to 10:30. There's still some early bird tickets left. So if you are interested in joining, I think early bird tickets go on for one more week. So check that out. On September 26th, also, if you're out in Michigan area, this is a great conference coming up, Farms, Food, and Health Conference. And this is a conference that's really connecting the food we eat to our health. And we just need to do that more and more. And we'll be talking about that today with my guest, Maria Michaels. But food is a key element to our health, and we're just not addressing it enough. The Democratic candidates are all talking about health care, but no one is really talking about why are we sick in the first place? What are we eating? What are we doing? Why are we sick? And this conference is going to address that. So if you're in the area, check that out. I have lots more events coming up on my calendar, so check that all out at iegreen.com. And now I would like to share with you this week's recipe. I'm still harvesting so many things out of the garden. And as many of you know, this is the time for zucchinis. And if you don't go into your garden for a few days and then show up, one of your normal zucchinis might have become gigantic, which is what happened to me. So I had three huge, huge zucchinis. So I decided to stuff them because that's a great thing to do with huge zucchinis. And I was having a party this past weekend for Labor Day anyway. So we made stuffed Mediterranean zucchini. I actually cut the recipe back so that it was more of a normal quantity than what I actually made this weekend. So I started, this recipe is starting with two large zucchinis that you're going to scoop out. And depending on whether it's your main course or not, will depend on how many people it feeds. But I had two large zucchinis. I scooped out the inside. And then the part that I scooped out, I diced up into, you know, like white 1-inch chunks. And just set that aside. And then I also use two carrots that I diced up, one can of cannellini beans, drained and rinsed, one onion chopped, one tablespoon plus 3 teaspoons of chopped garlic. And I know 3 teaspoons equals another tablespoon, so in total, I had 2 tablespoons, but I added 1 teaspoon at a time to different things. So you'll hear about that as I read to you the recipe. 2 peppers diced, 2 long Asian eggplants, Japanese eggplants, you know, the light purple colored ones that are long. That's what I used in for my garden. 2 cups of cherry tomatoes that I cut in half. 1 quart baby portobello mushrooms. And I buy those organic. And, you know, again, when it comes to organic vegetables, if you can, that is definitely the way to go. And you sometimes have to shop around to find the best places to get it. If you have a local farmer's market, that's, of course, the best, and go directly to the farmers. But at other times, you know, you may just need to go to a couple different places to find the best prices, because I wanted to use a lot of mushrooms in this recipe. 1/2 cup of organic white wine, 4 cups of kale and Swiss chard. You could also use collard greens, but any greens you have growing in the garden or from your farmer's market. But 4 cups will actually steam down to 2 cups and maybe even less. So it's not as much as it sounds like. 1/4 cup of capers, 1/2 cup of Kalamata olives cut in half, 2 cups of cooked brown rice, 1 teaspoon of dried oregano, and 2 tablespoons of fresh oregano, 2 tablespoons of tamari, 1/4 cup of chopped parsley, and salt and pepper to taste. And then I put a crumb topping on top, which was just 1/2 cup of sage leaves that I fried up, 1/4 cup of gluten-free panko flakes, 1 tablespoon of chopped parsley, olive oil, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and a pinch of pepper. So as I said, I started by cutting the zucchinis down the middle, and I scooped out the center to create a large cavity for the filling, and I diced up the zucchini that I removed from the center. Then I took the eggplants and I cut the ends off, and again I cut it down the middle, and then I cut it into 1-inch chunks. And I like to cut it on the angle, so from the long end, I laid it cut side up, and then I just kept moving the knife back and forth so that I was cutting it at a diagonal, each cut. And it just is a nicer shape, and it looks better than just having half rounds of eggplant. And then I tossed the eggplant with a little bit of olive oil and 1 teaspoon of the minced garlic, and I roasted that in the oven for 10 to 15 minutes until they were soft. And then I removed them from the oven and just set them aside. I did the same thing with the cherry tomatoes. I cut them in half using the same bowl as the eggplant. I tossed it with just a little olive oil and another teaspoon of minced garlic and roasted that in the oven. And I also did the same thing with the mushrooms. And the idea here with using the oven is it saves time. You know, the vegetables, instead of overflowing and being taking up too much space in the skillet, I was able to get some of the ingredients cooking while I was sautéing the onions. So I also tossed the mushrooms with a little olive oil and a teaspoon of the garlic and roasted those as well until they were soft. So while all those things were roasting, I steamed the kale and Swiss chard until that just got bright green and wilted, and then I blanched it. I put everything that I had steamed into a bowl of ice water to stop the cooking and to lock in that bright green color. And then I squeezed out all the water and I set that aside. And while all that was going on, I was sauteing the onion in a large heavy skillet with a little bit of olive oil and a tablespoon of garlic. And I sauteed the onions until they were translucent. Then I added the carrots, which I had diced, and cooked those for about 5 minutes. Then I added the cut zucchini and cooked that for another 5 minutes. At that point, I was able to add in the other vegetables that I had roasted in the oven, the cooked eggplant, the mushrooms, and the cherry tomatoes. And I mixed those all together. Then I added the kale and the white wine. And the white wine steamed in the pan and kind of brought all those flavors together and allowed them to cook together. And I just reduced the wine a bit till most of the liquid was absorbed. Then I added the rice, the capers, the olives, and the parsley, and mix that all up. You can taste it at that point. See if you need to add any more tamari, any more salt or pepper, any more oregano. You know, some people like things a little bit with more herbs in it than others. So you taste it and decide. And then you fill the zucchinis with that vegetable mixture. And if you have a little mixture left over, you can just save that for another meal. And then I wanted to make a little crumb topping. Because I have many friends in my circle that are gluten-free, it's very easy, instead of using regular breadcrumbs, to use gluten-free breadcrumbs, which is what I did. And I used the gluten-free panko flakes. I have so much sage growing outside, so I cut off a bunch of sprigs of sage, and I filled about a half a cup, measuring cup of sage leaves. And then I fried them in a little bit of olive oil just for like 3 to 5 minutes. I'm sorry, seconds at a time. They just fry up really quick, and you take them out. You don't want to over-fry them. You want them to hold some of their green color. And just remove them onto a paper towel and do like 6 leaves at a time and just fry those up until they're all fried. Once you've done that, you can wipe out the pan. Just leave a little bit of the oil behind so that you can saute the panko flakes in that same pan. Add a little bit of olive oil. I'm sorry, you already had that. Add a little bit of garlic, some salt and pepper, and a tablespoon of chopped parsley, and then crumble the sage leaves into that mixture. So you now have the parsley and the sage mixed in with the breadcrumbs. And just sprinkle that on top of the zucchinis that you've stuffed with the vegetable mixture, and roast the whole thing in the oven, covered, for about 45 minutes to 60 minutes, depending on how thick the zucchinis are. And basically, it's done when the zucchinis are soft. But you want to cook them covered so that the top doesn't dry out and it stays moist. And that's it. And then you're going to serve it with some rice pilaf or quinoa, whatever you like. If you like nuts, you can also add some walnuts to that mixture. And I've done that before, and that's also really great. But again, when I'm cooking for a large crowd, I try to stay away from the things that could be allergy producing. So, or not allergy producing, but things that people might be allergic to. So I leave the nuts out. But anyway, that is my recipe for the week. If you make it, please let me know how you like it, because I'd love to hear feedback from everybody. And now it's my pleasure to introduce my guest today, Dr. Maria Michael. She is a world-renowned and respected medical intuitive, channel, empath, healer, psychic, and teacher for over 40 years. She's been awarded 5 advanced degrees, all summa cum laude, including a PhD in counseling psychology. She has doctorate-level training in neuropsychology and special education and extensive postdoctoral studies in psychoanalysis and Jungian psychology. Additionally, Dr. Michael is trained and experienced in EMDR, hypotherapy, lens, neurofeedback, and neurolinguistic programming. She is a Lakota Navajo traditional elder and has participated and led traditional Native ceremonies and doctored alongside Lakota medicine people. And I'm so thrilled to have her on and for her to share with us some of her knowledge as a part of the First Nation. So, Maria, are you with me?
Yes, I am, and I'm hungry. After listening to you, I want to go cook in the kitchen.
I hear that a lot.
Wonderful.
I hope you do. It came out so delicious. It was really wonderful. So, check out the recipe when you get a chance.
I will. That was really wonderful.
Thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited to have you on and to hear your perspective on so many of these issues that I am talking about.
Yes, it was wonderful to hear your passion about so many different things from so many different directions. It was really heartwarming.
Thank you. So I know you wanted to start our interview with a little meditation. Would you like to do that?
Yes, I'd like to do that. And then I'll close as well, so you'll have to keep me in line in terms of our timing so we can be respectful of what you need to do and for your listeners as well. And wherever you are, if you're driving, don't do this. But if you're home listening, we'd like you to just close your eyes and tune in and just hear our words, but beyond the words, touch in with your heart, because each of us on this planet have our own direct connection to creation, to the great mystery. And so we're trying to pull all of us together from a place of frequency, from a place of heart, where we have one mind, one heart, one heartbeat. So we're going to ask Tokashila, grandfathers, Unshi, grandmother, Unshi Maka, grandmother earth, Mini Wichoni, sacred water, and all the elements, and all your ancestors, those who came behind you, those who are with you now, and the next seven generations to come. We ask creation, Wakatanka, great mystery, that you help guide each and every one of us in our daily lives so that all of us may walk in a place of peace and integrity and respect with each other, regardless of what is happening around us. There is darkness always on the planet. Help us each to be a beacon of light, so that each of us may be used and can support the humankind family, one family of humankind, and all living beings, so that all may live and maximize their potential and be able to live at their highest and best frequency, so that each of us can work together. Aho, metakiase, we're all related. Thank you, Bhavani.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So, I can see from your bio you've had quite a journey integrating Indigenous as well as Western studies to come to where you are today and to offer the healing work that you do. And I thought you could share with my listening audience what healing practices you presently offer to your clients.
Well, we do both individual sessions, where we do a ceremony that's 4 days, where we literally can go into trance and we help diagnose why people are not healing or what may be creating blocks to their healing, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. We have done consulting work at Sloan Kettering, John Hopkins, Mass General, and even had ER privileges at Boulder Community Hospital at one point many, many, many years ago. And so it's about all of us are a tapestry that's been woven over time. And things happen to us. Life happens. And those things have an impact on our bodies, on our spirit, on our heart, on our mind. And so this work is so that we help create that blueprint to help each person understand what's maybe holding them back in different areas of their life or in their relationships, or just in terms of maximizing who they're meant to be. So we'll do the individual ceremony, we do individual therapeutic work, and we do group work. And the group healing work has really been only the last several years out in public, because we've done group ceremonies on a reservation doing traditional doctoring, and our sacred ceremonies. But this is being brought out because the spirits have said in the last many, many years that things were going to be changing and the speed of things changing was going to be very big, and that more people would need help. So it's a way for us to reach more people than doing just the one-on-one, although that has a different level of depth. So, for example, we're going to be in New York at a retreat at Our Lady of Grace Retreat Center for November 1st through the 3rd of this year, doing a workshop. We were there in April, and the workshops were so profound in terms of people breaking through things and things being held confidentially. No one knew what people were working on. It's all done in a very unique way using frequency and sound and our hands going on people in healing that we were asked to come back. And so the retreat will be again in November, and you can go on our website, which Bhavani will talk about, to find out more about it and how to sign up if you're interested.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I'm so disappointed that I'm away during the retreat that's coming up, because I would love to attend. But for any of you that are available, it will definitely be a treat. I've heard from people who are at the last one how amazing it was. So one of the reasons I asked you to join me today is because I know you, as a healer, believe in food as medicine. And I thought maybe you could elaborate on that from a Navajo and a Lakota elder perspective.
Well, everything we eat has a vibration and has a frequency. Everything we take in, or that we kill, or that we ask the living being to offer itself to us so that we can receive nutrition and nourishment, there's a whole cycle and a circle of life, just like with the water. And so food is medicine to us. And so if we approach the food as medicine, with that level of respect, with that level of prayer or meditation over it, the way you were talking about the way your love went into creating that dynamic recipe for all your guests. You know, there was a scientist, Matsuro Emoto, that talked about that he did research where you could pray or be angry or aim love at a molecule of water, and he could document how that molecule of water would change. It's the same thing with food, how we approach the food, where it's been grown, how it's been grown, what we're feeling when we're cooking it, whether it's happiness or love or anger while we're cooking it, all goes into things absorb the frequencies and the energy. And so food and the kinds of foods we eat are really important. Having worked a lot with cancer and all kinds of diseases, people with transplants, it's really important because of the stress that most people are living under and through, and in the current state of our country and our world, there are so many unconscious fears and things that are going on that stress also tends to make us more acid. And so the more alkaline we can become, the healthier our bodies can become. And so we can use food as medicine in that regard. And, you know, the bear, which is the only animal that really knows how to heal itself, knows exactly what berries and what foods to eat when it's sick. And if we as humans could learn the same things, and there are famous herbalists all over this country and all over the world who know about what herbs to take, what plants, plant medicines to take for certain things, and certainly indigenous people have different medicines and different plants that are used for different illnesses. And this is actually how Big Pharma started, was they started to try to synthesize the natural world and try to create drugs for us. And for us, it's about going back to the natural world and leaving things in their natural state and replenishing the vitamins and soils from where the food grows. You know, Norway has done some incredible research. And years ago, 10 years ago, I think 10, 12 maybe at this point, they put selenium back into their soil. They actually gave their farmers selenium because people have found that people who have cancer have low levels of selenium and their cancer rates dropped. So there is a direct correlation between what we eat and how we eat it and what states of mind and heart we're in when we eat and what happens in our body and how it utilizes that nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talk to people all the time, you know, and it just makes so much sense. I mean, you know, a baby who is born to a mother that really ate well and knew about nutrition is going to be much healthier than a mom who gives birth who didn't eat well. And it's the same with, you know, plants growing in soil that's healthy, versus plants being grown in soil that's not healthy. And, they're actually coming out with tools that's where we're going to be able to measure the nutrient value, the quality of the nutrients in the foods that people realize all broccolis are not created equal. All vegetables are not the same, depending on where it's cooked. And I also loved when you just mentioned, you know, the energy in the food. I haven't talked about that in a long time with my audience, but I think it's so true. You know, when people are eating out at restaurants every day, fast food, and you're feeding your kids that way, there's, you know, the chef behind the kitchen, he's not putting love, unless you're going to a really high-end, loving restaurant. For the most part, the chefs are, you know, short order cooks that are just, you know, getting paid minimum wage. They're just not very happy. And, you know, they're not putting that love into the food.
And there is actually research, and there's, you know, we know as indigenous people, and there many traditions were indigenous back in the day. It's not just there's only one indigenous. You know, there were Jewish mystics and Celtic mystics, and back in the day when everyone lived off the land, there were all indigenous peoples that knew these things, and midwives. And, you know, there is a place in Italy called Diamond Third where they've actually put on like an electrode, but it's different. It's a clip, and they can actually hear the plants singing. They've now recorded it. So we as people who work with medicines can hear and talk to the standstill nation, you call them the trees, or the plant nations, or the different medicines. And so they actually give out information through frequency, and you can actually hear them if we get quiet enough. But in our busy world, it's hard often to do that. But everybody has that capability, everybody.
And so what do you know as best practices for healing with food?
Well, we suggest that before you ingest anything, you take deep breaths and you sit and pray and share gratitude for whatever it is that's given its life to take care of you. That's we actually create a spirit plate where we offer it first to creation to say thank you for this, for giving me this, because without creation, we wouldn't even have this. Being alkaline is really, really important. Being well hydrated is critically important in terms of working with food and water, in terms of how our bodies use these things. Some of the other practices that we think we feel are really important is being careful what kind of water we are drinking and what kind of foods we are eating. So, for example, we suggest to people to eat only organic, to go beyond the traditional, whatever's cheapest, because if you invest money in organic foods, you're investing in your body's health. And we would rather the money be invested in farmers and organic health than in necessarily having to go to doctors. It's not that doctors don't have their place, but we actually can help our bodies way before we ever get to that place. And so organic is really critical. You know, there are things that we talk about depending on what different kinds of illnesses people may have, or labels, we like to call them, because if they're just a label or it's a project, then it means it doesn't have to be permanent. It's only as permanent as our mind thinks. And so there's lots of ways to use food to work around specific illnesses. So one of the things is to work with that, being grateful with the food and actually communicating with it.
Right, right. And you mentioned alkalinity, and, you know, and that comes up a lot in conversations that I have. And I also know with the First Nations, they talk about water as life. Maybe you can talk a little bit about water as life and the quality of the water and the alkalinity of the water.
Well, for us, water is life, meaning Wichoni, water is sacred. We are such a high percentage of water in our bodies that if we think about the quality of water that we drink and what we drink, and while we're drinking it, we were at Standing Rock for 4 or 5 months for extensive periods of time trying to fight the pipelines to stop having the pipelines go underwater. We're going to be on a fracking call with 350, the organization, on Thursday. So there's water is so critical to our lives and to all living beings and to our planet that everything that's going on with climate change and, as you were talking about, our current government and the rollbacks on what's happening, the alkalinity is absolutely critical to keep us healthy. There are even incredible machines. I mean, we have one in our own home. We just had a whole water system put in with ultraviolet light to make sure all our water is clean of fluoride and all the other chemicals that water treatment programs put in to help purify, quote-unquote, our water, but actually is very carcinogenic and does really unhealthy things for our bodies. We also have a machine that alkalinizes and ionizes our water so that our bodies can absorb the water better. And so the alkalinity really makes a difference. And water, without water, life can't exist. And so for us, without water, there is no life. So how do we all, from a spiritual place, from an emotional place, from a heartbeat place, from one family of living beings that all need water to live, how do we make sure our water is clean? There is water being contaminated, like in Flint, Michigan, you know, in Newark and Long Island. You know, there are places, we were called in on a case many, many years ago, way before we lived on Long Island, in an area of Comac, because there was a certain couple of streets and a development set where almost every house someone had either leukemia or cancer or something like that. And they discovered that the whole development had been built on a landfill. And all the toxins were coming up through the earth into the houses without anyone's realization. And so there are toxins that come up into the drinking water that contaminate things. And then we take that into the plants. We consume the plants. The animals consume the plants. We drink the water. And the cycle of toxicity and illness just gets amplified. So for us, the importance of water is critical to our survival as a species and the species, every other living species.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you have a filtration system on your water at home. What filtration system did you choose? I know there's so many different choices, and that's a really confusing
issue. Well, I have a whole house water system that we did a lot of research many years ago and continue to do research, and we have the whole house, so every faucet has clean water coming out, every shower. But we also have an Alkalife 7000 that we use for alkalinity, because you can change, like the Kagan, you can change the different amounts of alkalinity. And so for people with cancer, we'd suggest that they take the litmus test and check their pH. But we liked that one the best, Alkalife, and we still like it. We noticed a complete difference when we first started with it, even in the texture of our skin, because our skin is the largest organ for detoxification. And the softness and the difference in our skin when we drink that, and we've moved cross country several times. We've not always been able to get the water systems put in the house because there have not been people who understood the complication or the complexity of attaching that. But now that we're in Colorado, we know someone and that's just been redone. But we've always taken the alkaline machine with us so that we've always had that drinking water.
Mm-hmm. And so, my girlfriend who studied Chinese medicine, she had given me some alkaline drops. Do those work well? You know, I was
the problem
like
with the alkaline drops.
It's
not the same as alkaline water because the drops go through your digestive tract. So if your digestive tract is more acidic, yes, it might reduce a little bit, but it also mixes with everything else: your probiotics, your healthy biome, your unhealthy biome. And so it's not really strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like water constantly flushes out the kidneys. It's constantly flushing through your entire system. So it's different than the alkaline drops. It's not that it's wrong or bad. We're just saying it's not as efficient as constant flushing. We drink almost 94 ounces of water a day.
Right.
Between 94 and 96.
These drops I was adding to the water, and then I was drinking
the
water.
You were adding to the water.
Right. So you add the drops, and then it turns the glass of water to be more alkaline. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she recommended that, and yeah, that's what I was doing, because I have a water filter system, but I don't have the whole house system. So I will look into that. Dr. Michael is a world-renowned and respected medical intuitive, psychic healer, and teacher for over 40 years. And she also has 5 degrees in counseling psychology, and she's just a wealth of information. So, Marie, back with me?
Yes, I am.
Great. So, you know, talking about water and talking about fracking, how do we protect ourselves from the gas leakage that's in fracked water? And and how does fracking affect the energies in our food and water?
Well, something I thought of during the break was that at our retreat that'll happen November 1st through the 3rd, we're actually doing a water ceremony to bless the water and change it from water to medicine. And there's no charge for that. There's a donation because the money is going to be going to Lakota Law Project to help the water protectors from Standing Rock through Danny Sheehan, who is the main attorney. But the reason I bring that up is that water is that critical to our lives. And fracking, which Colorado is great at, you are very blessed in that you're in New York and Maryland and Vermont, have banned fracking, and there are, you know, a few other states that are considering it. But Colorado is fracking. And we feel that's one reason why we were sent back here. But the things that are released, the benzene, the toluene, the ethylbenzene, the xylene, all go into the air, and it affects everything. They are finding here in Colorado, for example, that children who are born closer to fracking sites are having lower birth weight and some a higher level of prematurity. We are finding with fracking, you know, that Princeton has done research, University of Pennsylvania has done research. There are more in Colorado now. Public health has found that there are more neural tube defects and 30% more babies born with congenital heart defects compared to those who live 10 miles away from fracking. So, I mean, we could go on and on and on. The methane that comes out, you know, natural gas, is, as you said earlier, is 86 times more potent than the carbon dioxide. And so it's affecting our entire climate and everything that we eat and touch and breathe. And they're finding a higher level of asthma and cardiac conditions and neurological hospitalizations. Even John Hopkins has done that in 2016. And so the water is, fracking is really serious. It's really dangerous. And energetically, the most frightening part is if you think about the earth and the earth plates and Grandmother Earth. Grandmother Earth has been taking care of herself for centuries, way before we ever showed up, you and I, Bhavani, and way after we leave.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a whole dynamic about frequencies and energetics, and when fracking comes in to disturb those frequencies, and those frequencies, like in a geoblastoma with the tentacles that go all the way out and shakes the earth and shakes all the living things in the earth, that affects everything energetically. Even if they didn't do the fracking water, it's the energetics of what they're doing, which is why Oklahoma went from having almost no earthquakes to being the highest earthquake state. And so it affects the animals, the four-leggeds, the winged ones, the creepy crawlers, the plants. They all have to absorb that thundering and shaking of the earth, which then affects their ability with sound and touch and light and the way that that's being done. Energetically, they have to create adaptations to protect themselves, which then make some of those foods and everything else have to create their own biomes of self-protection, which then create inhibitors in the food, which just like almonds that have their own casing, which have inhibitors that make it harder for them to digest if you don't take that skin off, they get energetic casings around them as well for protection. And these are all things that science is yet to discover or document, because we are not finely tuned enough yet scientifically to know how to test the energetics. But it's what's happening. Just like each of us as humans, we all have had people that we don't necessarily get along with, or we feel uncomfortable with, or we may feel threatened by. When we know we're going to go to a meeting, for example, at work with someone like that, there's a different level of protection that we try to put around us, even if it's unconsciously, where we're creating a space between us and that other being. Plants do the same thing. And so the fracking really has an enormous impact on every organ that we have, every organ that they have, and the photosynthesis and how they are able to transform their elixir in their bodies to do what they need to do to become what they are to become and blossom to. The trees, the standstill nation. So it's a never-ending circle of life that gets affected by fracking. And it's terrifying.
Yeah, for me, it really terrifying. Is. You know,
it's
and you mentioned,
terrifying.
You know, New York being one of the states that doesn't allow fracking, yet we support fracking infrastructure. And,
yes,
you know,
right.
I keep writing about that all the time.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, they're trying to build a pipeline called the Williams Pipeline that would go right through from Pennsylvania through New Jersey into Long Island, into the Long Island Sound and the New York Harbor, go right past Staten Island in through Long Island, and if there's going to be leakage, which we know there is,
which you know there always
is, leak.
Always
you're
is.
Right here next to New York City.
Yeah,
it's insanity.
But it's all about money. Money talks in this country, and people don't look at long term effects. It's not the way yet, and I'm going to add that word yet, because people are getting overwhelmed with just the disheartening news that keeps coming out, and we keep saying yet. What's happening in our country is actually, when he got in, we called him, we won't speak his name because he doesn't deserve to have his name spoken, as far as we are concerned.
he who shall not be mentioned.
He who shall not be mentioned by name. But the person in the White House, we said he was a great being, and most of the indigenous people thought we had lost our minds. But we said he will bring up the ugly belly of the beast that's been here hiding all along, doing all these things without it being public. And that's exactly what's happening. And so all these rollbacks, all these things, they've been trying to do all these things, but they've been doing it more quietly. But it's been happening anyway. So now at least it's getting to be more public. And it's forcing people to wake up, the 30 and 40-year-olds who were never really activists or, you know, were more content, are starting to wake up, and people are starting to say, oh my God, what are they doing to the migrants? Oh my God, what are they doing to these children? What are they doing to these children who are on life supports, and now they're being told they have 33 days to live? The energetics of all of this impacts not only us psychically, but it also impacts how we digest our food and how we drink our water, because our nervous systems, our autonomic nervous systems, everyone who's sensitive feels like their fingers are in the socket. So it's about how do we help each other with this constant bombardment of negativity and often heart-wrenching things. And how do we, I'm living in a state that loves oil and gas. I tried to find a home that was not within fracking, that there's a whole development that's built on 124 miles of coal mines called Coal Creek, and another whole development, I can't tell you, hundreds of homes built on rocky flats where the uranium mining was. So trying to find a house not near those things was quite a feat.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason that we're here. And so it's like, how do we help ourselves, each of us, in our own way, be used as a source for good, and as a source for helping the planet wake up and help each other wake up, help ourselves wake up, so that we can change this world for the next seven generations and the next seven generations after that, because we've had seven generations before us try to help us. So it's about continuing that circle of life.
Right, right. I'd love to just go back to Standing Rock for a minute, because mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, that it has not been in the news as of late, and I know my my daughter was at Standing Rock for about a month protesting, you know, supporting mm-hmm. the water protectors, and I know you were there for a few months. Can mm-hmm. you just update us on what is going on there? I assume they've gone ahead and made the pipeline that we all protested. What's going on?
Well, there's a lot more pipelines that are being protested. Unfortunately, the new law that the person in the White House just passed, that anyone who protests will get a 20-year automatic federal prison term if they're found protesting a pipeline, is going to be challenged in court. But many of the courts, as you know, are being packed with judges who think a certain way. There's a lot still happening, not just at Standing Rock, at Cheyenne River Reservation, at places all over near Flint, Michigan. There are indigenous people all over there. You know, there are, everyone is fighting. These pipelines are coming, just like you said. It's all about money. It's all about how to get, and we need to change our world and what we use for energy and oil to, quote, clean energy. And even that's a question mark, because there are a lot of tests and things that are being talked about in terms of the wind energy and how that's impacting life and the quality of life. So it's Standing Rock is still working very hard. There are some wonderful things that have come out of it. MIT is working with Cheyenne River Reservation and Standing Rock to try to find a way to create new industry on the reservation that is environmentally sustainable, where they can create things that they won't be dependent the way they are at this moment. But the pipeline is going, and the way the laws have been written is that it can leak at so many fittings, and it has to leak a certain amount before it even gets publicly acknowledged. So a lot of our infrastructure that's been based on power and greed needs to change to a place of the paradigm of peace and love. And that's part of what Standing Rock was about. It was an incredible experience. It was like living in what the world could be like, where everybody, no matter whether you were two-spirit person, whether you were straight, it didn't matter what your label was, didn't matter what your race was, it didn't matter what color you were, didn't matter your age. Everybody came to try to save the planet, to try to stop the pipeline, to try to protect the water for the 2 million people downstream who would have been affected. And there was no need for money, there was no need for anything, just everybody did what needed to be done. And there's still things that are being done. There are still people facing felonies. There are still people who, unfortunately, there are many medical people who are still trying to help a lot of the water protectors, because they were spraying us day and night with chemicals and toxins and pesticides, who have liver and kidney failure. So there's a lot still happening, but because it never was picked up by mainstream news, most people don't hear about it. I mean, 2 weeks after that man inhabited the White House, he started uranium mining on Pine Ridge Reservation. He's trying to open up the coal mines. He's, you know, if you go onto the Diné Reservation, we use the word Diné meaning the people rather than Navajo, but where the uranium mining happened in the 50s, half of that reservation, the water is so contaminated that children are being born and they register on the Geiger counter. None of that gets out.
Oh, my God. Uh-huh.
None of that gets out. I mean, they don't even have, when you talk about food, if you go to the reservation and you see the quality of food that's shipped in, it's so horrifying. When we go back every year, we bring all our food with us because the quality of the food is so abhorrent and so horrifying, because they don't even get green produce.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you heard about my new job is just to try to bring some fresh produce into school lunches. And, mm-hmm. you know, they save a lot of that horrible food for our children. I mean, the free lunch program at the schools, for the,
it's cheap.
The most part, is horrendous. It's, you know, what's cheap, what's free, what is, have they subsidized so much that there's just too much of it, so let's give it away to school children and create meals out of it. It's really very sad. But we are almost out of time, and you asked me to give you a heads up because I know you want to do a little closing with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I will share more information on my website and in my newsletter about your upcoming retreat, especially as we get closer. So I will share that. But let's
And if anyone wants to get in touch with us, our website is www.drmariamichael.com. And, yes, I'd like to close with a prayer. And I want to support you in the work that you're doing to save the children and the schools and the foods in the school.
Thank you.
I mean, that's our future.
Right. It is.
And better to give them good food than give them good medical bills. So we support you 4,000% in the efforts and things that you're doing. And we wish we had met you when we were on Long Island. It's just amazing what you're doing, and the things even that you were sharing that are available to people on Long Island. So we would like to end with a prayer. And Tonkashala, Grandfather, Unshi, Grandmother, Unshimaka, Grandmother Earth, Mini Wichoni, Sacred Water, Wakatanka, Creator, Great Mystery, Winged Ones, all the creepy crawlers, the one that swim in the water, the four-leggeds, the two-leggeds, and all the living beings and all the elements, we want to say, Wopila, thank you for giving us this chance and opportunity to spend this time with all these listeners. Thank you for this opportunity to be on this radio show and this wonderful opportunity to meet Bhavani. That was quite a remarkable circle of how you moved us each in place so that we would have this chance to be with each other, not only now, but in the past and hopefully many more times in the future. We want to say, Wopila Bilamaye, thank you for the information that comes through this radio station about health and supporting people on their way to health. And we want to say, help reach out to those who don't hear yet. We want to say, please help those who don't understand the importance of food and water and how it affects their bodies and their children. We ask that you wake them up in a kind and gentle way. Help them find the resources so that they can get this information that's readily available to them everywhere, so that we as a world can begin to heal on a deeper level, on a cellular level, in our bodies, our minds, our hearts, and our spirits. Again, we want to say, Wopila, thank you for this opportunity. Aho, mitakiase.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And everybody out there listening, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you all again next week. Bye for now.